Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Samba. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the PDP call on the 8th of September. And on the line, we have James Bladel, Jeff Newman, Keith Medanski, who is standing in for Brian Winterfeldt, Avery Doria, Alan Greenberg, and Wolf Ulrich Knoben. For staff, we have Marika Koenix and Margie Milam, and myself, Glenda Saint-Jury. And we have apologies from David Maher and Alex Gukuru. Is there anybody else who has sent their apologies that I have perhaps missed? May I ask you please to say your name before speaking for transcription purposes? Thank you very much, and over to you, Jeff, and welcome back.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, everyone. This is Jeff Newman. It's good to be back. I was a little bit ill for a few weeks and am still recovering. I do have some leftover speech issues, so if I'm not clear, just let me know. I'm doing my best, and hopefully the transcript will pick it up. You know, you guys have made a lot of really good progress, and I've been following it on email. And I'm actually going to turn over this part of the meeting back to James and Marika in a minute, just so that they can kind of continue. And thank you very much, James and Marika, for holding down the fort and doing such an excellent job and getting us to closure. The plan is to be on the call for just an hour today and hopefully finish up all of the comments. And the goal would be to get the final report to the council for their early October meeting, understanding it might be deferred a meeting to actually get voted on in Dakar. So that's the current plan of action, and it seems like with most of the comments that have been received, even though they've generated some discussion and comments in the review tool, it seems like most of them, there really aren't any changes to the report. There are a couple that have been discussed on a mailing list, which may result in a few changes, but it seems like hopefully the report can be produced by that time and submitted to the council in early October. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to James.
Thanks, Jeff. And I think speak for the whole group that we're really glad to have you back and hope that your recovery is going well, and anything we can do to help you get back into the swing of things, just let us know.
Thanks.
Okay, so, thanks for your housekeeping. I think it's a good plan. I think that where we left off, and Marika, I'm probably going to ask you to help here as well, is that towards the bottom of page 14.
Correct.
Okay. So I think that the last item that we discussed was number 38, but the question would be if this group wants to circle back to the discussion that we had on the list that was most recently joined by Stefan regarding the definition of who is eligible to request a deferral and whether or not we may have inadvertently excluded the non-voting, non-com the non-com appointees with that with the language that we currently have. So do we want to tackle that now, or do we want to put that on the list for the total follow-up and then just move on with number 40? Not really receiving strong feelings from the group. So let's just circle back and put that one to bed before we dive into the next one. I think that everyone was in alignment that it was not the group's intention to exclude or create different types of counselors, that once someone was a counselor, they had the ability to request a deferral. I think that we were specifically trying to make sure that this was limited to counselors. At least that was my understanding. If everyone is okay with that, I think Alan has proposed that we remove or just strike in our report, strike the word voting council member, which would then be the equivalent of just saying genus of council member, which would then be inclusive of all council members. Am I correctly stating your proposed change, Alan?
Yes, I am, and there's, I believe, about four places in the report where it's used. I'll note, not related to this exact subject we're on, but I'll note one of the occurrences does talk about voting request, written request, and I think that's an error unless there was an intent that I'm not aware of, so that should be fixed at the same time.
Okay, so let's maybe catch that one as well. But now, Stefan...
Unless there was really an intent to, that it needs to be written, in which case all of them should be changed to say that.
I don't know that that was the intent, but maybe we can just hang on to that for just a moment. There was a note sent this morning by Stefan and some other folks, and I'm asking, I guess, did that take the discussion in a materially different direction, or are we still on board with this idea that counselors, including the homeless NCA, are eligible to raise a deferral? Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, all of the issues he raised were ones that had been raised before and, in fact, were addressed in my initial note in the thread. But I think he had only read Mike Rodenbach's comment and hadn't gone back to read the whole thread. I've answered him, and I think Avery has also. Although,
okay.
If Avery's on the line, I think you forgot a knot somewhere in your first one of your first sentences.
That's quite possible.
Hey, thanks, Alan. Jeff?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that Stefan's comment, until we see, you know, a year, 2 years down the line, if it's ever abused, I just don't see Stefan's comment as having to change anything. I think let's go with what our gut was and what we all agreed to on the list.
Yeah, Alan, what I didn't put in the message is I was quite offended by Stefan's comment saying the homeless NCA, if they can't vote, they shouldn't be able to speak either. To quote what I put in my message, which you probably haven't gotten yet, that relegates the NCA's only function is to eat at free GNSO lunches. And I don't think that's the intent of the NOMCOM appointing them.
Okay. Walt?
Yeah, thank you. So I think I have written also and comment. And so to my opinion, it was a little bit misleading me myself at first when I read the homeless. You know, homeless is really misleading. So it's about community, not home here in this case. But that's my understanding. And the NCA is there is no community-less NCA. So in this respect, so I understand and fully support that what Alan has saying. So any NCA has some group in his background, so a kind of community, even if they are individuals. So and under this understanding, so I support it fully. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Well, Alan, can we move on to your second point?
Just to explain the word, the NCA was originally tended to be called the houseless NCA because they don't sit in a house, they're just on the council. But very quickly in speaking, people changed that to homeless. So I believe in my note I used houseless the first time, but and then introduced homeless under that context. So,
yeah, we don't want to say something
it's
like that.
It's a bit flippant, but it is the terminology that has been used.
Yeah, well, and let that be a lesson that all attempts at being clever don't go, nothing goes unpunished with an eye gather. Okay, so let's go back to Alan's other point, which is that in one of the instances, I'm sorry. So I think it sounds like the consensus is that we never intended to exclude NCA appointees, whether they're in a house or outside of a house, houseless. So we should strike the word voting and just limit that to GNSO council members. The question then becomes what Alan was mentioning is in one place in the report we specifically say that the deferral request should come in writing. Was that the intention of the group? If so, we should make it consistent in all areas, or was that just an artifact that we need to acknowledge that it could come in writing or it could be verbally raised during the course of a council meeting? And I think my understanding was it was the latter was our intention, but certainly possible I'm not remembering that correctly. Jeff?
Yeah, I think that might have been my mistake. I think when I was going through the report, I think I might have actually put that word in, being the lawyer that I am. But I don't. In rethinking about it, it doesn't really make sense, because usually those motions are made right on the fly at a council meeting. So I'm going to chalk it up to my mistake, and I don't think it should be written. I think we should take out that word.
I agree, Jeff. That also makes it consistent. Is there anyone who disagrees or opposes that change? Okay. Let's call this one put to bed, and we can move on to number 40.
Yeah, one other thing. I think it'll be obvious to Marika when she does the editing, but there's a footnote that now needs to be removed also. But I think that will fall out of the removal of voting.
Is that the one that defines?
That's right. The one that rationalizes why it was done.
Yeah. Okay, so do we have all that, Marika? We're going to strike the word voting. We are going to standardize away from written requests, and we're going to strike the relevant footnote that defines the rationale for this.
Yep, got that.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, we could start with number 40 then. Marika, would you mind walking us through or setting the stage for us here?
Yep, no problem. This is Marika. So recommendation 40 relates to the voting thresholds, and where the work team clarifies that it hasn't changed any of the voting thresholds apart from adding two new ones in relation to the working group charter as well as the voting threshold for the termination of a PDP. INTAB says that there should not be any delay in determining fair voting thresholds. The fairness of the processes is directly tied to the voting thresholds, and as such, whether or not the voting threshold should be revised should not wait for the next GNSO review. Instead, the GNSO Council should remand this topic for further consideration by the PDP work team with a short time frame for a recommendation.
Okay, before we open the queue, Alan, do you want to take us through your comment?
Yeah, there's one thing that I omitted, and I'll say it now. Implicitly, since we are changing, since we are recommending the change of some thresholds, we did review them. Most of them, our conclusion was we don't have enough real strong rationale for changing them, and they were the thresholds were debated at length and were a compromise within the group that recommended the restructuring of the GNSO. So we found no reason to believe that they were wrong in most of them and believe we should go with it. They were the result of significant debate. The one or two, I don't remember which, that we are recommending change, we obviously did consider whether they're appropriate and are recommending a change. And even that one was not really recommending a change in the intent, just adding some numbers which may make it may allow it to do closer to what was originally imagined.
Okay, thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
I put myself in the queue. I think that I agree with you that the group spent a considerable amount of time discussing voting thresholds, and that doesn't necessarily. I don't know that reviewing them again by this group or by another group is necessarily going to produce a radically different outcome. I also think that in the case of supermajority, we were just, if memory serves, we were just aligning some of the definitions of the various places that refer to supermajority, and we were trying to bring that into alignment with the new structure of the GNSO Council. So I don't think we were creating new thresholds in that regard. We were just getting everything, synchronized. So my opinion would be that I disagree with this recommendation that we should rework this part of the report. Jeff?
Yeah, I think this is wow. This group is in total agreement here. Again, I'm going to agree with Alan and James. I think we did actually address a few thresholds and clarified a few. We added a couple where there just weren't any thresholds where approving of a charter needed something. So yeah, I disagree with the comment, and I think we're all in agreement on it.
Hey, I see Paul has his hand agreement. Alan, and then Wolf.
Yeah, I actually agree with the comment from one context. And I think our recommendation is wait for the next GNSO review. Is that correct, Marika?
This is Marika. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. There is one threshold, the one that actually determines majority, which I believe should be changed. Because you can have something like 70-odd percent of the council members weighted based on their which side of that council they're on, voting in for something, and it doesn't get approved because you need a majority of both houses. But I don't feel that was within our mandate to change. It's not really directly related to a PDP. I also don't feel that necessarily changing that or debating it should wait for a formal GNSO review. So, there are ones that are in the middle ground that maybe waiting for the review is not right. Maybe it should be done more immediately. But I think it's a GNSO issue and not a PDP issue.
Okay, thanks, Alan. I agree that this group was primarily concerned with not creating new voting thresholds out of whole cloth, but just making sure that they were all in place and well-defined where they encounter them. And if there's something that needs to change, then maybe that's a separate...
So I would support changing our report to not say wait for the next review, but say it's up to the GNSO to take action.
Okay, well...
I mean, everything is game at a review.
Yes, well, I could agree in part to what Alan has just said. I was just thinking about, who should it do, and who else, if not this group here. So we have the third option is this standing committee, you understand, which I have to chair. So I was just asking whether it could happen that this is just rolled over to that committee, this part, and whether this committee would be in a position well to discuss that at all. So I really would like, if we don't leave it as it is right now in the recommendation, saying waiting for the next overall review, then we should really point out that it is, as you said, is up to the GNSO to establish an appropriate group for that, I would say. So, because I wonder whether, for example, the SCI would be an appropriate group at the time being for that. So we should really take care in formulating this.
Yeah, it's certainly an appropriate group to suggest the GNSO do it.
Yeah.
Whether it's the group to make the recommendation or charters a new group, that's a different issue.
Okay.
Okay, so do we want to formulate that as part of our response? Or, I'm trying to bring this into a soft landing on something that Marika can put into the report or the response to the comment. So I think that we're in agreement that that in this particular area, the PDP group discussed this exhaustively, and that in most cases we were just redefining or clarifying the definitions of voting thresholds or establishing them where they were vague or ambiguous, and that the topic of whether or not these are appropriate voting thresholds should be taken up by the GNSO through other mechanisms, possibly the Standing Committee for Improvements. Did I capture everything with that, or Alan? Tell me what
yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah, I was just going to point out that there were a lot of thumbs up. I'm not sure it's us to say whether it's the Standing Committee, but I think if we change that they should be done at the next review should be a decision of the GNSO or something like that, or reviewed by the GNSO.
If we say, for example,
if you delegate whoever it wants to do it, I would support that.
Hmm.
Yeah. If we say, for example, the Standing Committee, I think that that's
good idea.
Or, something like that. Okay, I think that's we've beaten that dead horse. Mm-hmm. Marika, can you take us to number 44?
Yes, I can. So recommendation 44 relates to the GNSO Council review of the PDP working group. And INTA notes there that basic standards could and should be adopted now as a helpful tool subject to amendment after there is more experience with a new PDP process. This issue should not have to wait for referral to the standing committee or additional experience with the PDP process.
Okay, so forgive me for being a little slow this morning. What is it that they are saying cannot wait?
This is Marika. Basically, in our recommendations, we're saying in relation to the self-assessment, that we're not, you know, that currently there are no guidelines, and we're actually recommend that the GNSO Council develop such guidelines after some experience is gained in working group self-assessments. So they're saying we shouldn't wait for doing that after a couple of working groups. It should be done now.
Okay. And Alan, you said this is not a show-stopping issue that would warrant more delay. I tend to agree with that, but I guess from sort of taking into side, my opinion would be that if a working group wanted to, if working groups wanted to start submitting self-assessments, would that be unwelcome by the council? Alan, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't think so. See, I mean, anyone can do a self-assessment, but they're winging it because there are no process rules, there are no format rules, there are no, you know, there are no rules. And they're saying this is important enough that it should be done now, and the implicit part of that, and I'm not sure it's in their actual comment, which I haven't looked at recently, is that we should do it. By us saying it's up to the standing committee or some other group to do it, we're not saying it shouldn't be done, you know, as quickly as humanly possible. We're just saying it's not our job, and I don't see it as something that should stand that should delay the approval of the PDP rules, generating standardized working group rules, which will be used presumably by things other than PDPs. I think this is part of the working group rules that are part of the operating procedures, and the council can formalize that as quickly or as slowly as it wants. I don't think it's our job to do it, and I don't think it's necessary for us to do it to get the rest of it in place.
Okay, thanks, Alan. I especially think that last sentence was key. So hopefully Marika got that for our response. It's important, but it's not our job to do it, and it's not on the critical path to getting this implemented. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks, James. And at the risk of making a pattern, I'm going to fully agree with Alan here and think that last sentence really should be quoted verbatim in the response.
Awesome. Thank you, Paul.
I'm blubbering.
Yeah, I guess I would agree, too. The other thing I would add is that it would take a long time to do it, or it could take a long time to do it. And not only do I not think we should be doing it, and not only do I not think that the council should be doing it at this point, and certainly delaying the PDP for it, I think it might delay any group from starting to do self-assessments and gaining experience from it, because now the instant message would be, well, you know, we might as well wait until there's a template because we don't want to do it wrong, because we don't know how they want us to do it. We can always find reasons for not doing these things. So I agree that, you know, it should remain as is, essentially. Thanks,
Aubrey. I put myself in the queue, and I think I'm just going to go ahead and agree with Alan. I just wanted to point out as well that, you know, we should resist temptation to build, construct, define, and proceduralize everything just because we could. And, you know, I think that in some cases we should just make a general recommendation, especially when we're creating something new that we feel has value, and see what we can come up with and what the different PDP working groups come up with in the future, and which ones are useful to council and which ones are not. I don't know that it's necessary to plan all these things out in advance. I think that, you know, it's very much a bottom-up process if we kind of let working groups lead the way on this. I also think that, you know, going back to something that Jeff observed very early on in our process is working group charters were never a formal part of the process, but they are now. Maybe that during the next review we will see that this has become an important part of the PDP process, the closure of the PDP process, and it's something that becomes a more formal part of the process, then we can have some more standards and guidelines. But for now, I think let's try it and let's see what we've got. So, Alan, and then we'll close this up.
Yeah, I had a thought triggered by what you just said. I guess I find it interesting that in an organization where we're continually harping on bottom up, the GNSO seems determined to make rules that once they're made are top down. Sorry, that's it.
Well, it's yeah. I think it's certain individuals and elements that are pursuing some certainty in the process, you know, and not willing to leave things to uncertainty. But I think uncertainty is where you also get innovation and stuff. But that's a topic for beers someday. Okay, so I think we have a response, most notably, Marika, I think Alan's sentence earlier about that this may be important, but it's not within the scope of this group and shouldn't be a holdup for implementing the process. Then I guess we can move on to, it doesn't have a number, but it's section 3 at the bottom of page 15, one of the overarching issues.
Right.
And
so
I can't scroll.
Do you want me to cover it?
Yes, I can't scroll, so if you could go ahead.
Okay. So section 3, the overarching issues, I think it's a general comment from the registry stakeholder group related to this section that says that if all the overarching issues are included in the proposed PDP manual, it should say so. If not, it should be helpful to identify which ones are not included and why not. And if I can maybe put myself first in the queue, on this one I actually don't recall which ones are and which ones aren't, but maybe we can follow a similar approach as we have done for the recommendations where we mark behind the titles of each of the overarching issues, whether it's a bylaw issue or a PDP manual issue. And I guess we can put in something there as well if it's not something that's included in neither of them, but just as a discussion topic included in that section. Maybe that might clarify things.
Okay. No disagreement here, and there's no cue, so I think that's... I think that's acceptable. Can we move on to the top of page 16?
Yes. The first comment there, section 3, consideration of final issue report by the GNSO Council. It's from the comment from the Registry Stakeholder Group, and I think it's the one that we've seen before in relation to one of the other recommendations saying that allowing as late as 8 days before a council meeting for considering a final issue report is completely unworkable.
We addressed this earlier on. Is that correct?
Right. I think we have a response in one of the previous comments. So if people want to have a look, I think the same applies here. So we can just, I guess, copy and paste that here.
Yeah, I think that for these first three, if we can just make sure that our response is consistent with our earlier discussion on this. Alan.
Yeah, I think the substance of our previous comment was that 8 days are the minimum. It doesn't mean you cannot allow more time, and we recommend that that councilors and the council use reasonable process. So I just don't see this as an issue given that.
Right.
Okay. Our expectation is there will be more time than 8 days. If we have an expectation that something is going to come to a vote. And I see us moving in that direction, so I'm not particularly perturbed by it.
Okay, thanks, Alan. So that, in my understanding, that pretty much covers the next three items. It's basically the same comment for those different actions that would occlude, that would occur a certain time frame prior to a council meeting. Can we then move to the comments about the consideration of the board? Consideration by the board, excuse me.
Yes. So this is Marika, another comment from the Registry Stakeholder Group and in relation to the consideration by the board. The recommendation does not take into account board requirements and needs. Items should be rewarded to say the board shall consider the recommendations report as soon as possible according to its requirements, but not later than the second meeting after receipt, instead of at the board's next meeting.
Alan, your your thoughts on this. You said that the comment is
The comment says we should take account of the board's needs, but then says but under no conditions and doesn't give an escape clause. It must be done at the second by the second meeting. You know, and that just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Okay, Jeff is in the queue. I'll put myself behind him. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, this is a registry comment, and it was submitted a while ago. The substituted language, it's instead of saying at the next meeting, it's saying no later than the second meeting. I'm not sure how that gives it less flexibility.
Well, because our words, I think, said, I don't have them in front of me, at the next meeting, but. And there was an escape clause that said, you know, there may be extenuating circumstances. And
wouldn't this still have the same but after? Like, what's after the dot, 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 Marika?
I'm quickly looking up the report, so if you keep on discussing, I might have found it in a few minutes.
Wow, we caught Marika unprepared.
Has never happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it says, and we'll wait for Marika, but when it says not later than, the escape clause seems to be conflict in that case.
So can I jump in here, guys? Are we saying the difference between the wording is at the next meeting or not later than the second meeting? Is that the discussion we're having?
I think that's it, yeah. I think the escape clause is still or should still be there.
So that's like saying at least one or not more than two?
It's instead of saying at the very next meeting the board has, they have to consider it, you're saying as soon as possible and not later than the second meeting. So if they can't consider it the next meeting because of the agenda, because the agenda's already been set or whatever, they want it at the following meeting, I think is the intent.
Well, while Marika's looking that up, can I ask a very newbie question here? That I probably should have asked while we were actually writing this report or this recommendation, which is, can this group, which is one section of one stakeholder or supporting organization, actually make that kind of a requirement on the board? Or are we getting a little too prescriptive here in what we want to see happen? I guess what I'm saying is, can we just say something like, you know, that we recommend that the board take this up as soon as possible? I think giving them dates and deadlines and times, are we allowed to do that?
We can always recommend it. I mean, they have to approve it, obviously, and put it into the bylaws. But I don't see a problem with making a recommendation. Whether they accept it or not is their own prerogative.
Yeah, we are making recommendations for bylaw changes, but this is not a PDP. They don't have to accept everything or nothing. So,
but we make changes for bylaw. We were recommending bylaw changes to the GNSO bylaws, not to, well, I guess that's part of the overall bylaws, right?
No. I think this is actually part of Annex A in terms of it's describing the board action, so it could well be within Annex A.
Okay.
And therefore,
well, I'm just wondering, suppose
it is within what we're changing.
Okay, so hypothetically, if I wanted to be difficult, another SO or AC decides they're going to undertake a review of their processes and they have some requirements on the board that may be in conflict with this. Is that cool? Or?
Well, if it's a CCNSO and they're recommending changes to their own PDP process, they could do that. I think this is really specifically a recommendation from the GNSO on a GNSO PDP.
Okay. All right, thanks. Like I said, I was just confused on that. Margie? And then we'll probably see if Marie got the rest of the context here.
Yeah, I was just going to agree. I mean, this is the bylaws are all the bylaws. This is just an annex to the main ICANN bylaws. But at the end of the day, if the general counsel's office or the board feels that this is too onerous, they just won't adopt that part of the bylaws recommendation. I think Jeff's perspective on this is right. You just put what you'd like. And then, it'll go through its process when it goes up to the board to see whether they're willing to live with this or think that it's too prescriptive.
Okay, thanks. Marika, you have
Yeah, so this is Marika. So I actually found the actual language comes up in the section on the overarching issues and the timing. And I think there we've included this language, but it actually is not in the PDP manual or the bylaws, if I've quickly looked for it. So I think here the assumption we made indeed is that, you know, we're hoping that the board will consider it at their next meeting after receipt of the report, but we're not telling them or recommending or requiring them to do so. What we say in the bylaws itself is the board will meet to discuss the Genius of Council recommendations as soon as feasible after receipt of the board report from the staff manager. So we actually have more flexibility in the bylaws than we, I think, put in the section on the timeline. So what you see in the chat, the first one is what is actually in the proposed bylaws as it currently stands. And that second language that the registry stakeholder group commented on is in the table that provides an overview of the different timing steps in the PDP. So probably we need to synchronize that. But as I understand from the vote, I think our intent was as soon as possible, but we understand that we can't really, you know, tell the board what to do in this case.
Okay. I think it was Jeff that was asking for that context. So where do we want to go with this one, folks? Alan?
Yeah, I think the as soon as feasible, and we could add in preferably at no later than the next meeting, the second meeting after. You know, let's face it, the board may well have much more important issues to consider at any given point in time, and this week's EU papers illustrate it, than a specific PDP, which may well be a nit compared to the existence of the organization itself or something like that. So I don't think we combine them, and at most we could put in a preferably, using the words the registry stakeholder group suggested. I'm happy with the as soon as feasible,
okay,
with or without that extra criteria.
Jeff, David's not here, so we're going to ask you to stand in for the registries. What do you think? Where do you think we should land on this? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No. I think with Alan's language, I think that's right. I'm fine with the preferably language in there. So I'm good with that. I think that addresses the comment. It gives it the more flexibility, but also indicates our preference.
Okay. I think we've got that then. And can we then move to translation, Marika?
Yes, it is, Marika. So I'll make sure as well that those two sections are synchronized so that they say the same thing and indeed following on what we just discussed. So section 3 of the overarching issues relates to the PDP document translation, and there's a comment from the registry stakeholder group. They recommend changing the recommendation to public comment should be received in other languages where feasible, and when that occurs, these comments should also be translated back into English.
Okay, and I see Alan says that he agrees here. And I think that... I'll put myself in the queue. The only thing I would have an issue here with is the word back, because if they were never in English, then they wouldn't be translated back into English. But I didn't catch that the first time I read through the report. But
good point.
Margie, go ahead.
Yeah, with regard to translation, the only concern that I have is the timing of it. So usually, if, you know, public comments, it takes time to summarize them. And if you're waiting for translations, then it just adds time to the process.
Agreed. Okay, now we got a queue. But I don't know that this, I mean, I don't think that Margie is wrong, but I don't think that that's covered in this particular comment. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. So that may very well be an issue, but I'm just trying to keep it just on the topic of this particular comment. So, Alan, Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, what we have there says you can submit your comments in any language you want. We'll ignore them if they're not in English, because we can't presume that the staff or the people in the working group can read that language. So either we don't allow other languages for the comments, or we translate them so they can be understood. I don't think really, we really have a choice between the two. I mean, we can decide not to accept it. There's optics of that, of course. But if we accept them, we have to actually read them.
Okay. And I think, you know, again, let's try and keep this to the to the scope of the actual comments. Albert?
Yeah, I'm agreeing that it was Margie's comment that made me realize that I was kind of passive on this, and then all of a sudden, how can a synopsis of the be done if they're not translated? But I agree with you about the word back. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, and then now we get into another big one about voting thresholds. And it looks like we have about 15 minutes left. So if we can charge through these next couple, I think we'll be nearing the end.
But isn't Rick, guys, so the next one relates to the Section 3, the voting thresholds. And then just, I think, to refresh everyone's memory, this section, basically, we go through the different voting thresholds that are in the PDP and basically, I think, analyze for each of them whether we think there should be changes or why we agree or disagree with as they stand. The Registry Stakeholder Group says that the organization of this section is confusing and could be clearer if all items related to a vote of council would be grouped together under one heading. In the last sentence of 5C, it should be sufficient to say the Genesis supermajority vote threshold will have to be met or exceeded, as the clause with respect to any contracting party affected by such contractual provisions seems to be irrelevant. Regarding the board vote, the Genesis recommended board voting threshold should be consistent with those in the bylaws. In relation to item 6B, it is recommended to change the timing to at least 30 days for the council to review the board statement.
Okay, so let's see if we can unpack this one a little bit here.
Would you like me to pull up the report itself in a window next to it so it can be easier to look at the items?
Well, yeah, hang on just one second. Before we do that, it looks like the item 6B is a different topic. I mean, most of this is talking about voting thresholds, but then item 6B discusses timing for a council to review a board statement. So is it possible we can draw a circle around that and treat that as a separate issue or extract it from this comment? Or say it's unable to be separated?
I suspect it was mentioned in the same section, which is why they mentioned it there, but it sounds like we could discuss it separately.
Okay, and then the idea that there should be some sort of a chart or table indicating all of the areas where a council vote would be, essentially put it all in one place or centralized, I think that's not a bad idea. The question would be, what kind of delay does that introduce in preparing something like that? I think that would be something that we would want to ask Marika and Margie if that's something that you've done.
James, I would think if there's going to be significant delay in extracting the information and putting it in a table, that proves the registry comment is correct.
Right, and it's confusing the folks who wrote the thing. I think, yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so then there's this big chunk in the middle here, beginning with in the last sentence of 5C. So can you take us through that one, Marika? You were talking about 5C.
5C, let me just see, because I'm referring what it currently says is, that's, I think, the language quote from the bylaws. Approve a PDP recommendation imposing new obligations on certain contracting parties, where an ICANN contract provision specifies that a two-thirds vote of the council demonstrates the presence of a consensus, the Genesis supermajority vote threshold will have to be met or exceeded with respect to any contracting party affected by such contract provision.
I think they're right.
Okay. Go ahead, Margie.
This language was, I'll just provide some background. This language was meant to address, for example, the registrar accreditation agreement, and then there may be one registry agreement where it doesn't use the word supermajority. I think it uses two-thirds vote, two-thirds of the council, and because that's sort of inconsistent now with the new voting threshold, the reason that bylaws language was there was to clarify that in the contracts where they're talking about that, what they really mean is the GNSO supermajority, how it's defined now. So it sounds redundant, but if you look at how the Registrar Accreditation Agreement is drafted, it's clearing out the ambiguity there.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I remember there were several places where we needed to assert the new term supermajority as opposed to something that was specific math or fractional term.
Right, because two-thirds, since we've got the two houses, two-thirds of the whole council, that number is going to be different than what we're defining a supermajority under the bylaws now. And so that was the reason why that was kind of called out as a separate item.
Okay. Alan, you want to chime in on this one?
Yeah, the original statement in our report is essentially saying that a supermajority shall be deemed to be equivalent to two-thirds, where two-thirds shows up in contracted party agreements. I don't think anyone's arguing with that. I think what they're saying is the last clause it says with respect to any contracted party effect is redundant with the first part of that of the same sentence. I mean, the sentence starts off with approve a PDP recommendation imposing new obligations on certain contracted parties.
So you think that's
the last
redundant
clause is redundant because it's already said. That's the way I read the statement now, and I think the way I read the registry comment.
Well, I think the registry comment, I don't want to read too much into it. Jeff, maybe can you shed some light? What is the registry concern with the middle part here?
Yeah, no, I think Alan's right. It's kind of a redundancy in there.
Okay.
It was not meant to suggest anything more substantive than that.
Okay. Okay, so I put myself in the queue just to kind of close off the discussion and see if Jeff wanted to chime in, and I think that we have his thoughts on that now. So it sounds like the first chunk of this comment would be addressed if we could at least investigate whether or not there's a way to quickly put together a table of all the voting threshold requirements that we have scattered throughout the report. The second bit, we have identified that second part is redundant. We're including that discussion because we needed to clarify the difference between two-thirds and supermajority. And then the third part is really a separate comment about 30 days for the council to review a board statement. And what is our current timeline, Marika, that we have in our current recommendation?
I've posted on the right-hand side the actual 6B and our comment there, and I think there we actually don't say anything. We're just saying that the GSO Council, that there might be a certain time frame should be included when the board is required, but I don't think we actually wrote anything in the bylaws itself.
Okay. So is the registry then pointing out, the registry comment is pointing out that we've left the blank here with X days? Is there any objection?
They're setting a lower bound that it shouldn't be less than 30 days, so they're reiterating their 8-day comment in a different form here.
Correct.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Alan said it and Jeff agreed.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what the registries are saying. Again, I'm not going to say I necessarily agree with that. I think I agree with the way this group came out. But that is another way of them making the comment that they were making about the 8 days.
Okay.
It's Alan. It's curious, though, did we not put any maximum time limit under which this has to be done? Or do we leave this one open-ended?
Well, hang on a second, guys. I'm reading this now, and I think we're maybe talking about two different things. The 6B is discussing how much time the board has to submit a statement to the GSO Council, and then the comment seems to be talking about how much time the council has to review the statement.
Yeah, and this is Marika, if I may, can maybe comment. I think in the original, the current bylaws, it says that the council needs to do that within 20 days. But how it looks in our proposed wording is now saying the council shall review the board statement for discussion with the board as soon as feasible after the council receipt of the board statement.
Okay, well, I prefer the language that we currently have. I think it allows for flexibility and discretion, and I think it is possibly presumptive of this group to start handing deadlines on interactions between the board and the council. I see some thumbs up, so I think, okay. Okay, Rika, is that a new hand?
Oh, sorry, no, but just one comment I maybe should make, because I think maybe that's why there's some confusion over this section, because I think this section basically regroups a bit of the discussion we had on this, and I think we went into different directions, but it doesn't really match what we actually did in the end in the bylaw. So maybe we need to just synchronize those two sections to make sure that it's clear what we've done and what came out of our discussions, or maybe just move that section to the annex and only take those parts where we've actually made changes to it. So I'm happy to have a look at it and see how that section can be better organized and make sure that it synchronizes with where we have made changes or added more flexibility or not.
Okay. Okay, and I see we have about 5 minutes, as a number of folks have asked that we conclude this call within 60 minutes, so it doesn't look like we're going to get through the entire next page. So can we move on to the next one?
Yes, so just Mark again. Section 3 of the overarching issues related to the PDP working conclusion. Comment from the registry stakeholder group. Recommendation to number instead of bulleting the different items in this section. Regarding the second bullet on page 38, to ensure flexibility, proposed change to a certain time frame should be included. Example given, the board shall, within X days, submit the board statement to the GSO Council with guidance on how to cure the identified deficiencies with an option to extend if necessary. There are actually quite a lot of items. Do you want to take them one by one or just...
I think we can agree, I think, and Alan already has, that numbers as opposed to bullets will probably be helpful for us. Okay, so let's dive into the first one here.
But I think the first one we already basically addressed, or we actually discovered that we haven't set a specific timing, that what we have set as soon as possible.
Okay. So that was the comment immediately preceding this one, okay? And so the next bullet says on page 38, as late as 8 days before council meeting, considering a board statement is too short. We've already discussed that one as well. The fourth bullet suggesting that the board is considering separating recommendations that should discuss this with the council beforehand. That sounds familiar. We had something up earlier, but I think it was directed at the council and not the board, or maybe I'm misremembering that. Did we already cover this one? I don't hear anything. Okay, Alan?
Yeah, the wording that is suggested is rather curious. It said, if the board is considering separating the recommendations, they should talk to the GSO Council beforehand. If you think of the dynamics of a board discussion, that's going to come up during the board discussion. So they can't adjourn the board meeting temporarily to go discuss with the GSO.
Yeah, I think the intent...
So I think it's a nice thought, but I don't think it works in reality.
I think, Alan, the intent was before the board actually rejects something or actually takes final action, it should consult with the GSO. So, yeah, you're right. If it comes up in a discussion, that's one thing. It's not really feasible. But if the board is going to take action and actually has a motion, which usually they're drafted beforehand by, by legal, if they're actually contemplating taking any action that would formally separate it, approve some and not the others, that's the kind of thing that before they do that, they should discuss with the council. So it's not meant to stop any kind of discussion. It's meant to stop some sort of action.
Okay. Let's jump to Aubrey and then Marika.
Okay, thanks, Aubrey. I guess I disagree. I think that once the GNSO sends something to the board, it's for them to act on. I think that if they separate the action, then the part that they're rejecting gets sent back to the GNSO following the appropriate rules, and then it activates that procedure for the rest. I do not see it appropriate to basically tell the board, what they should do while considering the motion, whether they separate it or not. That would be like saying that before the council considers separating a motion, it must tell the working group that it will do it and such. And I don't know that we're doing that either. Maybe we are, but I don't think so. So I would not support such a change. Thank you.
Okay, Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika, and I think partly this comes back with the comment I made before. I think this section is maybe confusing because it's actually highlighting some of our comments and statements, but these are not recommendations that have been translated into language, into either the bylaws or the manual. I think this is another case where, when the council submits its report to the board, it might add a sentence that looks like this, but it's probably not something that belongs into the manual or because the manual is only for the GNSO council, not the board, and the bylaws neither. So it's maybe a bit of a moot point. I think at any point when the GNSO council submits its board report, it can add a sentence saying, please, if you disagree with any of these recommendations or are considering separating them, talk to us. I think in the same way that working groups tend to do that as well when they submit their report or write into the report saying these are one package, they shouldn't be separated. But in the end of the day, it's all up to the council to consider them as they please. So I just wanted to clarify that this currently isn't written in any way or form in the manual or the bylaws. It's just a comment that's made in the report, the content of the report.
Okay, thanks, Rika. I can tell that this is already going to take us into a little bit further discussion. So perhaps can we put a bookmark here and pick this up on our next call? Because I know a lot of folks want.
You're presuming we're going to remember what we want to say.
Well, the list is open 24/7. So
sure.
I just my agenda is to make sure that we don't reopen the material of these discussions, that we just make sure that we're keeping it focused on what the commenter is suggesting. And I think, with Jeff and David not here, makes it a little difficult to discern their intent. But anyway, hopefully next week we'll have Jeff up to full speed and we can take it from there.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay,
thank you, James.
Thanks, James. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Saba. Thank you. Is the call finished? Yes, the call's finished. Have a great evening. And you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Saba.